Hey, everybody. This is Jamie Nunley, lead pastor of Victory Fellowship Church. Thanks for listening to the VFC Sermon Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to download our free VFC Thomasville app, where you can access all of our messages, sermon notes, announcements, and small group lessons. This app is the easiest way to keep up with everything going on here at VFC. So please enjoy the following sermon. We hope it encourages you in your walk with Jesus and helps you to belong, believe, and become. Enjoy. All right. I'm so excited about this series that we're starting for this month called Culture Shock. Hey, just want to remind everyone, are y'all excited about Easter? Man, Easter at the football stadium, I am so excited about that. Go ahead and begin to invite guys and girls and family members and coworkers and cousins and grandmas and whoever you want to invite, because it's going to be an awesome opportunity to come together as a family. If you watch online, we'd love for you to join us in person, because you're going to be able to spread out. You don't have to worry about being near people. Someone won't cough on you. We're going to try to make sure, right? So I'm really looking forward to that. 2021, I felt like, and I told you guys this at the beginning of the year, I felt like the word for our church was personal revival. When the church talks about revival in general, we mean usually like God moving in a dramatic way and many meetings and things like that. But the truth is that we want that, but we wouldn't be able to sustain that type of revival until we all have personal revival. And so what I believe the Lord wants to do in us this year is to bring us not only back to when we were closest to him, but to even supersede that, go beyond that, and to be able to look back and say 2021 was the year where I grew spiritually by leaps and bounds. And so because of that, one of the things I'm doing and teaching is I'm going back to the basics. Back to the basics of our faith. Some of the stuff that we sometimes forget. This is like a major tenet of our faith. And so with this series called Culture Shock, we're talking about the fact that we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, culture shock is defined as a feeling of disorientation that you experience when you're in a culture that's not like yours, a way of life that's not like yours. And I've experienced this before. Tiffany and I love to travel. By the time we had our first child, we had been to over 20 countries. Some of those were mission trips, and some of those were just, you know, being blessed to be able to see those places. But when you go to another place that you're not used to, you're subjected to customs that are different than you're used to, and ways of speaking, different languages, and different food, and different ways that you dress. And so it can sometimes be culture shock. I remember our first trip out of the country together, we were on a mission trip to Honduras, where they speak Spanish. I remember by the end of that week, we were in a church service. I remember it was just, I had heard so much Spanish, I was done. And you might, if you've ever been out of the country like that, you know, like, I need to hear me some American. And so I just heard so much Spanish, I was just so tired of hearing a language I didn't understand. One time back when we first got married, I was in a band, a Christian band, and we did a music ministry. We did a series of different shows, concerts, and things like that in Brazil. And I had been warned before we went to Brazil that the okay sign is actually considered like a vulgar gesture over there. You have to kind of change. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to, you know, flick off anyone who's watching online from Brazil. But you had to change it just slightly, but it was considered a vulgar gesture. And so I was like, okay, I can do this. Don't do the okay sign. Don't do the okay sign. The problem is, though, when we did like sound checks before our shows, the easiest way to communicate with the sound guy was to go, you know, oh, I need more, I need less, I need less. Okay, now we're good. So I was in a church, and we're doing the sound check, and we're doing monitor adjustments, and I go, perfect. And I think, as soon as I do it, you ever have that moment where you're doing something, and as you're doing it, your brain's like, no. Well, that's what happened. And I'm doing the okay sign. I'm like, oh no. And the sound guys are losing it. They just think it's the funniest thing. And they're like, you know, elbowing each other, laughing at us. Because could you imagine if someone came from another country and just gave us the middle finger during the middle of the service, right? It'd be like, what? Right? And so there's a culture shock, right? There's a difference in cultures sometimes. In this series, we're going to be talking about what it means to live in an environment that we're not from. There is a world system that we live in, but we're not actually from that place. And I'm going to be getting really practical and taking the things that make an actual culture, like the way that you dress, the food that you eat, the words that you speak, and we're going to talk about how to live in the culture of heaven, not just the culture of this world. So I'm really excited about this. You know, this is a common theme all throughout Scripture. And it's funny, I was thinking about, talking about this with Tiff last night. A lot of the older songs, like songs written in the 1800s and even early 20th century Christian songs, one of the main themes is like, hey, we're just here temporarily. We're just headed to heaven one day. And I don't hear a lot of that anymore in Christian music. And I think one of the reasons why is this kind of, it's pretty awesome living here in the world. I mean, think about it. We have hot water, right? We can just literally drive. We don't have to get out of our car. We can drive through a building, give them some money, and they hand us food immediately. Now, the order is going to be wrong, but they're still going to hand us food immediately, right? The conveniences of electricity and just TV, even you don't even have to wait for a TV show to come on at a certain time anymore. You're just like, I want to watch this now, and it starts. It's pretty awesome to live today. And I think because of that, we forget that we're not from here. We forget that this is just temporary and that we're from another place. So I want to show you this scripture that Jesus says. It's John chapter 17, and he's actually praying for his disciples, including you. And he says this, my prayer is not that you, Father, take them out, them the disciples, take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Now, see, Jesus' prayer for you was not to take you out of the world. If that were the case, as soon as you get saved, he'd be like, all right, time to go to heaven. Let's go now. But didn't you notice when you happened to get saved, you were left here? Why? Because you got a purpose. You've got a reason. There's a reason why you're here. He doesn't want you to be out of the world. He needs you here in the world, but you're not of the world. Jesus is not of the world. You are in Christ. Therefore, you are not of the world. Jesus also said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. In other words, you can look at where your stuff is and tell what you care about. So where's all your stuff? It's at your house, right? Some of y'all have so much stuff you got to put in a storage shed or something, right? All your stuff is at your home. All your stuff is at your house, and that's where your heart is. Home is where your heart is. And you can tell where your heart is by where you're storing things up. So this morning, I want to let you know five things. Five things about the fact that home is where the heart is. And here's the first one. You are not from here. You are not from here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're out of this world. You're not from here. You're not from here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, the word for citizenship here in the Greek, it means our presiding government. Our presiding government. Now, get this. That means that although we're living in this world presently at the time, if you are a Christian, the laws, policies, systems that you abide by, the culture and society that you live in is from another place. It's not from what's going on down here. Your heart has changed. So your home has changed. In the Passion translation of this verse, Philippians 3:20, it says, we are a colony of heaven on earth. We are a colony of heaven on earth. What's a colony? It's a plant. It's an intentional plant from some other place that resides in a place they're not originally from. It's a colony. God is planting his people on this earth to just become like everyone else on this earth. No, to make a difference, to be different. We're not from here, you guys. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are not from here. The Amplified Version says, but we are different because our citizenship is in heaven. We are different. You know, so easy to forget that we're supposed to be different, right? Y'all know what's weird to me? It's not sinners who sin. That's not weird to me. Sometimes Christians get all up in arms when an unsaved person does something that's not right. And it's like, yeah, well, they're unsaved. You know, big deal. Sinners sin. I mean, we don't condone it or agree with it, but it's not surprising. But you know what's weird to me? Not when sinners sin, when Christians don't change. That's weird. That's really, really odd. That a Christian, someone who has God in them, even over time, doesn't change. There's no fruit. There's no adjustment that comes from being in relationship with God. Are you different? Are you different than the world around you? You know, if someone had a camera on you all last week and reviewed the footage, would they think, oh, that person's a Christian? I can tell. Or I've heard it worded this way. I've heard this. This has been around for a while, but I love it, this question. If Christianity were made illegal, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you? It's a good question. It's a good question. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors, an ambassador of Christ. An ambassador is a representative of another land, another culture, or another government. It's someone who represents or represents someone else to those around them. We're called to be ambassadors. Why? Because we're not from here. We're from somewhere else. But that's easy to forget, isn't it? Now, it's actually good news that we're not from here, and here's why. Is that the world is passing away. The world is passing away. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. John says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, just hold on. Let's just take that in for a second. Do not love the world. Don't find your purpose. Don't find your passion in anything here in the world. Like, I know we love things. I love French fries. I know you love French fries. Oh, I love French fries. Okay, that's not your purpose. Believe it or not. That's not your purpose. That's not your calling. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Verse 16, for everything in the world, here we go. You're about to hear, the world can only offer you three things. Here they are. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world, this is important, and its desires are passing away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. All right, first of all, I need you to understand something. The world can only offer you so much. And here in the scripture, it says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Or you can think of it this way, pleasure, possessions, and pride. That's all the world has, pleasure, possessions, and pride. And none of these things fulfill you. None of these things will last. At best, they're temporary. And at worst, they're keeping you from why you're really here. Pleasure, possessions, and pride. Have more. Feel more. Get more. Do more. Be more. Right? This is what the world says. But it's temporary and it's not fulfilling. It says, the world and its desires are passing away. Guys, it's as if we live in a condemned apartment building. That apartment building is scheduled for demolition. And it's broken. The reason it's scheduled for demolition is because everything doesn't work. The pipes underneath the ground, it may look like everything's fine, but behind the walls there's rot. And stuff isn't working right. And so the owner has scheduled its demolition. It's passing away. And we're thinking, well, it looks good to me. Guys, this world is passing away. This is important. This is important. You are behind enemy lines. You are behind enemy lines. 1 John 5:19 says that we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. Now, that'll mess up your theology. The world around us, the New King James says, under the sway of the evil one. The world around us, you guys, is under control of the evil one. How many times does something in life happen and it doesn't make sense and you're like, well, God's in control. Well, God's in charge. He's God. No one else is God. No one will ever be God. He is top dog. You're not God. No one else is God. He's in charge. But Scripture says, because of the fallen nature of this world, Satan's in control. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? No wonder so much bad stuff happens. Because the evil one, as it says in the scripture, is in control. Guys, you live behind enemy lines. You live in a broken place. You live in a dangerous place. This world is not your friend, and it's not your home. But too many Christians are like soldiers sent to a foreign land who are supposed to be waging war against evil, freeing people from prison, but instead we're distracted by the souvenir shop. We forgot our mission. Because, hey, it's kind of fun to live in the world sometimes, right? Modern conveniences, we like this. Guys, the world is passing away. It cannot fulfill you, and it will not last. I also want you to know this, that we are told by Scripture to hold on to our spiritual heritage. The fact that we're not from here, we're from heaven, we belong to a different place. We're told to hold on to our spiritual heritage. We don't just assimilate and do what everyone else does. We hold on to our unique identity as Christians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, it's the idea that we die with Christ, just like Christ died, and then we resurrect, just like he resurrected, to new life. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth or below. See, when you travel through this life, when you know your boss does something that makes you mad, you have a choice. You can either go with what's from above or what's below. When your kids annoy you, when your spouse does something stupid, when life doesn't work the way you're supposed to, you have a choice. You can set your mind on those things that are above or those things that are below. We are called to hold on to our spiritual heritage, to recognize where we're actually from, and set our minds on the things that are above. Has anyone ever done Ancestry.com to see where you're from? We have two. Mine's pretty simple. Our family is from the UK, from Great Britain. Except for there's in my mom's side of the family is Cherokee Native American. So I'm about 13% or 1/8 Cherokee Indian, and she's a quarter, and her granddad was full-blooded Cherokee. And so it showed up on our ancestry report. Tiffany was very similar. Her ancestors are from Europe. You know, if there was a spiritual ancestry.com and you signed up and got swabbed and your results is that you would be from heaven. It's where you're from. That's where you come from. You come from the kingdom of God. So we have to hold on to our heritage. Just like when someone, I don't know if you know someone who likes going through their heritage and their last name, and this person came from this person, they got like a family tree and they study all that. You should get to know your heritage, your spiritual heritage. You should learn about and embrace your spiritual heritage. Guys, Christianity is countercultural. In other words, Christianity goes against the grain of the world culture. It doesn't go with world culture. See, too many times I think Christians, we get tired of fighting against world culture. We just try to assimilate into world culture and maybe just change it a little bit so it's palatable for us. That's not what we're called to do. Christianity is countercultural. It's a countercultural movement. We are friends to the world, but not friends with the world. Do you see the difference? We're friends to the world in that we have the message of the goodness of God and his mercy, his compassion, and his power, but we aren't friends with the world. You don't have to look like a fish in order to catch a fish. Right? You just have to have the right lure. And the lure, according to Scripture, is the kindness of God. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Jesus was a friend to sinners, but he himself wasn't a sinner. We're not supposed to be participants in the world system, but we're supposed to be serving those who are stuck in the world system. Do you see the difference? This world's not your home. You're not from here, and you're headed somewhere else. It's okay to embrace your spiritual heritage. It's what will keep your mind on those things that are above, not on those things that are below. So because of this, here's the fourth thing I want you to know. We must protect ourselves from our surroundings. We have to protect ourselves from our surroundings. Guys, we're behind enemy lines. We live in a dangerous place. We have to be vigilant. James 4:4 says, "You adulterers," this is going to be great, "cheaters, unfaithful people, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God." Wow. How many times do we want to do both? I want to be a friend of the world, and I want to be a friend of God. He's like, look, it doesn't work that way. I remember when I was in high school, I went with some friends, and we got in a little John boat on a lake. And I don't remember if we wanted to go fishing or if we were just, you know, wanting to get into trouble or whatever. But we were in this boat, and we had our little life preservers, and we had our paddles. So we push off from the bank of the pond, and we're in the boat, and we start paddling. And I start to notice a little bit of water in the bottom of the boat. And I tell the guys, I'm like, "Hey, guys, look, be careful with the paddles. You're getting water in the boat." And they're like, okay. We keep going, and I'm noticing more water in the boat. And I'm like, huh, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And then they're starting to notice water in the boat. And it's like, I think something's wrong. And then we realize that the boat's taking on water. I don't know if there's a crack in the hull or if there's, you know, where the plug in the boat is, if there's a leak or something. And we start turning around. We start headed back towards the shoreline. And by the time we get to the shoreline, the water is beginning, and you can see the boats like lower down in the water. We were taking on water. We were in trouble. We were about to sink. Why? Because boats are built to be in the water, but not get water in them. And in the same way, we live in this world, but the world is not supposed to live in us. We were created to be in this world, to be able to go through this world, but not to let the world get in us. Otherwise, we'll sink. Our faith will sink, our lives will sink, because the world is not our home, and it's passing away. We have to protect ourselves from the surroundings that we're in. John 15:19, Jesus says the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you're no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. You know, if a boat, as long as it sits on top of the water, it's going to be okay. But if it gets in the water, it's going to be destroyed. The water doesn't like that boat, right? And it's the same with us, you guys. You know, if you're truly following Jesus, at some point, you're going to be unfollowed by the world. And Jesus warned his disciples, he's like, look, they're going to like you until you start stepping on their toes, and then they're going to get rid of you real fast. Now, let me just say this. This doesn't give you permission to be a jerk in Jesus' name. I have some friends that are like, well, I preach the truth, and everyone, people don't like it, but Scripture says that I will be hated. No, you're hated because you're being a jerk, not because you're preaching truth, right? There's a difference. Don't be that guy, all right? This is not an excuse to not act right. Well, the world says we'll be hated. No, no, no. We'll be hated, we'll be persecuted because we're going counter culture. We're going against the grain. It's really important that we understand this. You know, pretty much all of my life, I haven't gotten invited to the really good parties. Even when I was in high school, like I knew everyone knew me, I loved them. And so I was friends with everyone, I got along with everyone, but when it was the time for like the big house parties, then I wasn't there. Why? Because they knew I wouldn't be drinking and I'd make them uncomfortable. And it's the same, Tiffany and I, in certain circles at certain times, people don't want us at their parties either. It's funny, like we'll be like downtown Thomasville, like a first Friday, and there's music going, and you know, people, you know, have a beer in their hand or whatever. I walk up, like, hey, man, what's up? And they're like, hide the beer, like, hey, pastor. I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, man, I'm ruining your fun, aren't I? And I'm going to turn to Tiff. I'm like, let's just go. Let's just go. This is not, I'm ruining everyone's night. They're like, hey, I'm going to come to your church soon. I didn't even ask. Like, it's cool. I was going to talk to you about the band, but okay. You know, but it's okay. It's okay that the world sometimes wants to unfollow us because we're not following the world. We're part of a different culture. We operate by a different way. And that's okay. We still love them, but we're not a part of them. Here's the last thing I want you to hear about this is we must cling to the truth of God's word while in this world. You remember the scripture I put up earlier? It was John 17, Jesus' prayer. Let me just read it again to you, because I'm going to finish it off with the next verse here. It says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Verse 17, make them holy. In light of all this, in light of them not being in the world, me not being in the world, make them holy. Some translations say sanctify them by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Now, when it says, make them holy by your truth or sanctify them by your truth, that word means set them apart. Set them apart. Make them different by your truth. See, you will be different from the world around you when you adopt God's truth, not the fleeting, unstable truth of the culture around you. That's what sets you apart. Because you adhere to a different truth. Because don't you know the truth of the world around us is so unstable? It changes every day. Like what is right and what you can say, and then the next day, oh, you can't do that anymore. I can't say that anymore. It's like, what? And look, you guys know I am not one of those guys that rails against sin because you don't see Jesus do that. He calls it out. I would much rather draw attention not to what's bad in the world, but what's good about God. And so I don't rail against sin, but I need you to know something about this world culture. They are confused, they are deceived, and they don't know the truth. And our generation, my generation, the generation older than me, the generations coming up are so confused. Guys, look, they don't even understand about gender anymore. And that's not to like hate people who are different. It's because I feel bad. They don't even understand who they are. The enemy has attacked their identity, the core of who they are. Say, no, you're not normal. Guys, we have the solution. The Word of God found in Scripture is the solution, is the truth that sets people free. And if you're looking to the world system, the culture of the day, whatever just happens to be right today, it's passing away. It won't fulfill you, and actually it will hurt you. It's not the truth. We have to be vigilant, you guys. We have to cling to God's truth. Even when the world tries to make you feel less for believing something different, we've got to cling to God's truth. Romans 12:2 is a familiar verse. It says this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we've talked a lot about the renewing of your mind here at VFC, about changing your thoughts so that you change your behavior. But I'm not going to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about the first part of this passage. It says, do not be conformed to this world. The NIV translation says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. See, there are patterns, there are ruts, there are pathways that the world is putting everyone on to get them to a specific destination. That's not your destination. You're not from here, and you're headed somewhere else. So you can't conform to the world's pattern. It's not the right pattern. It doesn't lead you to the right place. The New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. The behavior, what they do, the customs, how they think. We can't copy that. Well, this is what everyone else is doing, so this is what I'm going to do. That's not right. They're not right. It's a condemned building. It's passing away. It's soon to be wrecked. You can't do that. You can't copy those behaviors and customs. The Passion Translation here says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. Stop imitating what everyone else does. Isn't that what our culture does? It's like, well, everyone's wearing this now, so we should wear this. I'm not saying it's bad to be in style. I mean, I hope I'm not like hopelessly out of style myself. But we don't imitate the ideals and the opinions of the culture around. Guys, it's just going to change in a little bit. We hold fast to the truth of the word, which is solid and stable. There's a commentary on this verse that goes back to the Aramaic version of the New Testament scriptures. It says, don't be squeezed into the mold of this present age. You know, a mold tries to affect something so it'll be a certain shape. So it'll look a certain way. It'll squeeze on you until you become that shape. It's like water. Water will take on the form of whatever container you put it in. You put it in a cylinder like a cup, it's going to be round. You put it in a square jar, it's going to be square. Wherever you put water, it takes on, it conforms to that shape that you put it in. Guys, that's not what we're called to be. We don't conform to this world. Instead, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind to what? The renewing of our mind to the truth of what God says. His loving law that he's given us, his guidance that said, hey, look, there's a better way. This is what's true. So we have to cling to the truth of God's word. And my question for you is this: are you in the world, or are you of the world? Where's your heart? Because your home is where your heart is. Are you dancing the fine line between the world and the kingdom of God? Are you trying to have dual citizenship in both kingdoms? It doesn't work that way, guys. It doesn't work that way. If you don't experience at least some level of culture shock being a Christian in this world, you're doing it wrong. If your life is like everyone else's, who's not a Christian, you're doing it wrong. There should be a tension between how you live, what you think, what you embrace, and what everyone else does. Amen? What about you? Let's stand for prayer. Like I said, we're going to get really practical in the weeks to come about how we live in a different culture. Totally different culture than the world around us. I encourage you to be here and learn. But let's do some business with the Lord. I want to make sure that you're open, that your heart is open. We don't just do the same stuff everyone else does. We need to be corrected. Scripture calls it conviction. When we're faced with a change, it's condemnation. It condemns you. It makes you feel bad. Conviction encourages you. And it makes you say, okay, I can change. If you feel condemnation, that's the enemy. But if you feel conviction, that's the Lord. He loves you enough to not leave you alone and to say, hey, there's a better way for you. Close your eyes. Focus on the Lord. I want you to think this thought towards him. Ask the Lord, am I in the world or am I of the world? Which one is it? For those of you that are visual, ask the Lord to show you this picture. Imagine your life is a boat on a lake. And you're called to be in that lake. But how much water has gotten in the boat? How much of the world has gotten in you? Is it just a little bit at the bottom? Are you filling up to where you're about to sink? Holy Spirit, show us. Where are we right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to lead you in a prayer where we allow the Lord to challenge us and convict us so that we can be in the world but not be of it. If you will pray this after me, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me, and thank you for saving me. I recognize that my home is where my heart is, and I want to be with you. I realize that this world is passing away. I don't want to pass away with it. Instead, I want to embrace my spiritual heritage. I want to cling to your truth. And I want to protect my heart from the culture around me. Help me not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed into the image of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I give you permission. Correct me and convict me when I'm not just in the world, but when I'm of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, once again, thanks for listening to the VFC podcast. If you live in the Thomasville area, we would love for you to connect with us in person. For more information about our weekly gatherings, including service times and directions, just visit us at vfcthomasville.org.